Thank you very much. And of course, Friend Day here at 2024 First Baptist Church, we're delighted for all of our people who normally come, but we're especially honored that we would have friends today that would come. And one of our greatest themes that we have in Christianity is that Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And one of the greatest consolations of knowing the Lord is in knowing that you have a friend like Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. For a few moments, I want to share with you just a few thoughts about friendship, but also a friend that Jesus made while he was here. And we just read about that just moments ago. It'll not be a long time that I'll share a few moments, but I'd like to ask if you would please not to talk to anyone, only one talk to you, and let us, if we can, please share what God has to say. There's no concession stand, no reason to get up. And if you do need to get up and leave, please sit in the back when you come back in so as not to disturb those around you. That would be helpful, not because of who I am, but because of what I'm talking about today. I love the Bible. I love the Bible because it's 66 books in one book. 39 were written before Jesus came, and then the last 27 books are written after Jesus went back to heaven. And I love the Bible because it tells us how we can have our sins forgiven, how we can know for sure when life is over, you'll go to heaven. Not a hope you can know it, but you can know it for sure. It tells us how you can have a relationship with God again. Now, all of us are created by God, but not all of us are going to live eternally with God. And God tells us in the Bible how we can know we will live forever with the Lord, even though we have a major problem, and that's sin. And so I want to share with you a few thoughts about that. When I think about friendship, I'm so grateful. They say love is blind, but friendship closes his eyes. I love having friends. I want to be a friend. Matter of fact, if you want to have friends, one of the best ways and recipes to have friends is to be one. He that showeth himself friendly is going to have friends. And people who don't, you'll not have the opportunity to do so. But friendship is very important. And Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. Jesus showed his friendship to us by sacrifice. And I'm so grateful that he did that. And I want to share with you a little bit of the story today that we just now read in John chapter number 3. Now, once again, John, the book we read, is one of 66 books we have in our Bible. And its main emphasis, if you can only read one book of the Bible, I would suggest you read the book of John. Because it's my name. No, I'm just joking. Not that reason. You'd want to read it because it tells us that Jesus is the Christ and you can have eternal life through him. That's the whole reason the book is written, is that you can believe that Jesus is who he said he was and that you can have eternal life through him. Now, I love church. I love gathering together with God's people, but a church has never gotten one person to Jesus Christ. It can't forgive your sin. I love seeing people get baptized in the waters that are here, but the water cannot wash away sin. No one goes to heaven because they've been baptized. I love to do as best I can, be a good husband and a good father to the 9 children that call me dad. I want to be a good dad. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good neighbor. I want to be a good friend. But you know what? I cannot do enough good things to cancel the sin that I have done against God. And in the story we have today, it is a story of Jesus and his friendship with a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a man who was very religious. Matter of fact, he had learned by memory many of the Psalms and Genesis through Deuteronomy. He was certainly he'd go to church not once a week, but every day. He would give generously, not only to the Lord through his church, but he also would give to others. He was a very notable person. He was a member of a group called the Sanhedrin, which was a religious leaders of the day. However, he was empty. He was missing something inside of him. He had heard Jesus speak and he had watched what Jesus did. And he came to Jesus one evening under the disguise of night. And he came to Jesus at nighttime. And he says to Jesus, Rabbi or teacher, we know that you are a teacher come from God, because nobody can do the things you're doing, the miracles you're doing, unless God is with you. Jesus took the compliment, did not acknowledge the compliment, but he quickly said to him, Nicodemus, verily, verily, that means truly, truly, or amen, amen, which you hear ever, sometimes you hear someone say amen, that means truly, I agree, so be it. He said, truly, truly, I want to tell you this, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, maybe you've heard people talk about being born again. Sometimes people who are politicians or maybe famous stars, movie stars or music stars will say, I'm a born again person. What does that mean? We're going to talk about that in just a moment. It's very important. As a matter of fact, it's extremely important. It's the same concept as being saved. If anyone's ever said, I'm born again, they're saying also, I am saved. I've been saved by God. We'll talk about that in a moment. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, this very good person, he says, you must be born again. Which Nicodemus fired back at him real quickly and said, now how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's belly and be born? I mean, come on, what are you talking about? How is someone born again? And he said to him, Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He can't go to heaven unless he's been born twice. Physically, see, one thing we all have in common here, every baby is born wet. They're in a water sack. And the mama's water breaks, and then the baby comes. He said, now, unless someone's born physically, and that's what made us our mom and dad's child, and they're born of the Spirit, spiritually, they cannot go to heaven. So he's telling Nicodemus, you got to have two birthdays, one physically and one spiritually. Now, both of them are a miracle of a moment. When someone talks about being born physically, they don't, if I ask you your birthday, you don't say, well, it happened for me over a period of about 4 or 5 months. No, no, you just give me one day. It's the day in which you broke the womb and you became your mom and dad's child. It's a miracle of a moment. Now, growing up is a process of a lifetime. But being born is a miracle of a moment. And so it is true in the spiritual sense. Being born again is a moment in time when someone understands three things that they need to understand, and they make a decision on one thing. And so with the moments we have together, I want to share with you what Jesus told to Nicodemus. Nicodemus found out some things that night. And Jesus says in verse number 7, if you don't mind, get that up there if you would please, John chapter 3, verse number 7 on the screen. And I want you to look at it and just see that last line. Can you read that with me, everyone, together? Verse number 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee. One more time. Let's read it together. Marvel not that I said unto thee. The words are in red. That means Jesus is responding to Nicodemus. You can take it off there. But it says, don't be surprised, Nicodemus. You must be born again. Now, God doesn't use the word must carelessly. If he used the word must, that means it's a have to. It's not an option to be considered. It's a command that must be adhered to. He said, everyone has to be born twice. So I want to talk to you today, just for a few moments. Really, with all my heart can muster, I am so happy you're here. And we care about you. We're not here trying to get something from you. We want to share with you how you can be born again. How you can know for sure when life's over, you get to heaven. Nobody here is better than anyone else. We're all just one beggar telling another beggar where he found some food. And one day someone asked me, John, do you know for sure when you die, you go to heaven? I didn't know. I knew a lot of things about religion. I was versed in Sunday school and church, and I had watched people go through rituals of baptism and taking communion, but I did not know the answer to that question. I wasn't sure that when I died, I was going to have eternal life with God. But that became the very best day of my life because someone explained to me three things I needed to understand that I did not understand heretofore. And then one thing I had to decide on. So I'm going to share that with you real quickly, what someone shared with me and what now through the years, I was a school teacher for 11 years. But 24 years ago, this month, I became a pastor of a church. And in that time of pastoring a church, I have had the chance, and even before that, to share the gospel of Christ numerous times. And I want to share it with you publicly this morning, kind of as though we're sitting across the table, if you will. And I'd like to just share with you what you need to know to have eternal life. Number one, we would need to know this, that we all are sinners. And on the best day of our life, we do things, we say things, we think things that are wrong. And every one of us in this room have been doing it our whole life. I'm 56 years old, and I have been doing wrong things, thinking wrong things, and saying wrong things for my 56 years of life. And however old you are, you could say the same thing with me. And the Bible tells us this in this way. The first thing I need to understand is that I'm in trouble. Because though we're sinners, God's not. God is holy, and we're not. And we cannot ascend into His presence in our own abilities. Many people, and even religion, will tell you, just do better and God will accept you. That's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. I want to be a good person, but I cannot, and nor can you, be good enough to meet the standard God has. Here's the verses that Bible tells us. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10. Look on the screen and read it with me, would you please? As it is written, there is none... Nobody is righteous enough to go to heaven in their own ability. He said, there's none that's totally righteous, no, not one. And then later in that chapter, in verse number 23, and if I had a Bible with you and I was talking with you, I would show you some other verses. But let's look at verse 23, can we? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Would you mind reading it with me one more time? And think about what it means. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. On the best day of our life, we all have done wrong. And we all miss the mark to go to heaven in our own righteousness. It doesn't matter how good you are, you still are not good enough to go to heaven on your own. I have a shirt that I pulled off the hanger this morning. And I'm wearing it today because when I looked at it, it looked pretty good. If I would have seen a black mark across my lapel with a magic marker right here, I wouldn't be wearing the shirt today. Even though most of it is clean, I would not have worn it because it had something unacceptable. And it doesn't matter if the whole shirt is dirty or just one is. I wouldn't wear it today. And you know, the same is true if you tried to go in the presence of God in your own righteousness, we're not good enough. It's like physically impossible to jump across the Grand Canyon. I don't care how good of a jumper you are. You could just come from the Olympics last time and with gold medals. I'm the longest jumper in the world. If you try to jump across the Grand Canyon, you're not going to make it. The law of gravity is going to bring you to your death. And if you and I try to go to heaven in our own ability, if I say, well, I'm going to heaven because I got baptized. I'm going to heaven because I'm trying to be a good person. The Bible says we all come short of the glory of God. Doesn't matter how good or how bad we are. Now, God tells us why we have a sin problem. It's twofold. Look at the next verse, 5, verse number 12, Romans 5, 12. Look at this and read this with me and consider what it says. Are you ready? Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin... Let me just explain that verse quickly. It's a lot of words, but I want you to think about it. The Bible says, wherefore as by one man, and that is referencing the first man that God ever made, Adam and his wife Eve. He made them, but they gave him a free choice. And they sinned in the Garden of Eden. And the Bible says, so then death passed upon all men. Though Adam's kids, Cain and Abel and Seth and their kids, they were sinners. And then they were sinners. They had sinners and they had sinners all the way down to you and I. No matter who you are this morning, what pigment of skin you came in here with today, no matter what your background is, all of us have one thing in common. We have a human father. And because we have a human father, his DNA of sinful nature that Adam has is in me and it's in you. I have 9 children. I love them very much. But you know, the truth matters, I never had to teach them how to do wrong. I never said, you're 5 years old, let's learn how to lie, and I'll show you how to be lazy later on. Then we're going to work on losing your temper. No. It came so natural to all of my kids. You know why? Because they got me in them. I got my dad in me. He had his dad in him, and we have Adam in us. See, it's one of the reasons why Jesus had to be born of a virgin. You know, Mary was a virgin. It was a miraculous birth. But it wasn't just because God wanted to show you something that's cute or miraculous. It's because there's no other way that someone could be saved. Because Jesus didn't have what you and I have. He didn't have a human father. He did not have Adam's sinful nature in him. That's why when he died on the cross, it was the innocent dying for us, the guilty. If Joseph or any other man would have been Jesus' father, well, he would have been a sinner. And sinners don't die for sinners. It has to be the innocent dying for the guilty. So the first thing we have to understand today, as a friend to a friend, is that we are sinners and we can't save ourselves. The second thing we'd have to understand is that if we have to pay for our own sin, we'll be separated from God forever in the lake of fire. You say, Pastor, you're kidding me. You came on Friend Day, you're talking about the lake of fire? I wouldn't be honest if I know what I know about the Bible and not say that to you publicly. But you know, it's beautiful. But let's read this. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. I'll just have the first part of it. Let's just read that part. The wages of sin is... So if I'm a sinner and you're a sinner, then if we have to pay its wages, it's to die. The wages of sin is death. Now in the Bible, there are 2 deaths. And this is why there are 2 births. Say, Pastor, why are you talking about being born again? Because you don't have to have both deaths. In the Bible, there's 1 death. Both are separation. How many know someone who has died physically in your life? You know them. You would be able to tell me their story. How many know someone like that? I would think most all of us would. We have our oldest son that was taken in a car accident when he was 17 years old, traveling with a family friend. Our hearts were broken. And the reason our hearts are broken is because we were just with him, and now we haven't been able to be with him. Death has separated us from him. The truth of the matter is that there are 2 deaths. One is physical. And when someone dies, their soul and their spirit leave and their body stays. There's a separation. They're separated from their body and their soul, and they're separated from us. The second is an eternal separation. The second death is to be separated from God forever. Now, God doesn't mix any words. He means his words. He tells us exactly what is Revelation, the last book of your Bible, and any of these, you can look them up and see them. I'm putting them on the screen this morning for sake of time. But Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 and 15. Would you all read verse number 14 with me? And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So God says there's a place that's called the lake of fire, and that's the second death. Remember, the wages of sin is death. Physically separated from our body and eternally separated from God in the lake of fire. Here's what the Bible says in verse 15. Follow along while I read it. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into that lake of fire. So there is a book of the new birth. There is a book of people who have been born again. If you stand before God one day and our name is not in that book, our destiny is sealed, and that is to be separated from God forever in the lake of fire. Now, God has a lot to say about heaven and a lot to say about hell. But this is the case. 100 years from this very moment, with the exception of potentially a couple babies in the nursery, all that's going to matter for every one of us is where we live, in heaven with God or in hell without him. It won't matter if you held an iPhone or an Android. It won't matter what your address was and how much wealth you've accumulated. It won't matter your 401k. 100 years from now, it's not going to matter. All that's going to matter is where are you? With God or separated from him? And this is why God wants us to be born again. There are three things that I wanted to share with you. The first one, I have to say, both of the first ones are negative. We're sinners, we can't save ourselves. The second is because of our sin, the wages of sin is to die. To be separated physically from our body and loved ones and eternally separated from a God who doesn't want it that way. The third thing is beautiful, and that's found in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The first part of that verse says the wages of sin is death. We've already read that already. Because we've sinned, if we paid for our sin, it would be to die physically and eternally. But then notice that beautiful conjunction, but hold it. There's a gift available. The gift of God is eternal what? Okay, so you see those contracted. The death there is not just talking about a physical death. It's talking about a spiritual death. It's contrasted with that. He said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal what? Life. So we're talking about eternal things, not just temporary things. The wages of sin is death. If I had to pay for my own sin, I'd have to die and go to hell. But there's a gift available. It's God's gift. It's eternal life, and it's through Jesus Christ. It's not through the church. I love church, but this church and no other church can give you eternal life. I love my parents, but my parents couldn't give me eternal life. I am grateful that I got baptized, but baptism did not wash away my sin, nor anyone's sin. I've taken communion many times, but communion does not give you eternal life. The only way in eternal life is whenever it's given to you as a gift. See, most people, and I was in that group, I did not know that eternal life was a gift. I thought it was a reward for doing good, but I found out it was a gift for being bad. It's not a reward for the righteous, it's a gift for the guilty. You know, a gift has to be two things. It has to be free, and it has to be accepted. Okay? If I have a gift for you and I say, here's your gift, now give me $20. You'd say, John, that's not a gift. No, it's a gift has to be free to the one who exchanges it. Number two, it has to be accepted. If you have a gift for me or I have a gift for you and we won't accept it, it's not ours. There has to be an exchange. Well, here's what the Bible says. We are sinners. We deserve hell. God saw that. He loved us. He sent his son, Jesus the innocent, to die for us the guilty. Someone had to die. It's either Jesus or us. And God so loved us that he died so we would not perish, but we could have everlasting life. So, there's a gift given. And the gift is given to you if you want to believe and receive it. Jesus paid for it. He's the only payment of sin. If you try to pay for your own sin, it's death. Jesus did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And he offers us a gift, but a gift has to be accepted. I've given you three things I believe that the Bible tells us we need to understand. Number one, we're sinners and we can't save ourselves. Number two, the price of sin is to be separated from forever from a God in the lake of fire. Number three, God loves us. And on the cross, he did all that was needed to be done so we could be saved. And he offers us a gift. But we must accept it personally. Your mom can't accept it for you. I can't accept it for my children. Your pastor can't accept it for you. Your priest can't accept it for you. That has to be an individual decision. I want to share with you how to do that. In the book of Romans, chapter number 10, and verse number 10, it says this. Here's how we accept the gift. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Okay? So if I give you a gift physically, you would take it with your hands. But that's not how you take eternal life. You have to take it with your with a heart, a person believes, yes, I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. Only Jesus could save me. I understand that. And with your heart, you believe that Jesus and only his righteousness can save you. And with the mouth, you ask the Lord to save you. Now look at verse 13 and read it out loud with me, would you please? Chapter 10, verse 13, everyone. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. So with the heart, we believe, and with the mouth, we ask him to save us. Inevitably, someone would say, Pastor, that's way too easy. But you know, God did not make salvation hard. He does all the work. See, when we get saved, we are believing and asking Him to save us. Here's another verse of Scripture, John chapter 1 and verse number 12. And I want you to look at this. This is back in the same book we started with in John chapter 3 when Jesus said you must be born again. He tells us how to be born again here. Let's look at it together. Verse number 12, I'll read it. Listen to me if you would, please. But as many as received Him. Once again, you see an exchange of a gift. Who is the gift made possible through? Through Jesus. When we receive Jesus, God gave us power to become the sons of God. That's how we're born into God's family. Even to them that believe on His name. So to be saved, I must believe in my heart that only Jesus could save me. And then I accept His gift of eternal life. Now look at the next verse and read that one with me. Verse 13, are you ready? Which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Here's how someone's born. They're not born because of your parents. Your parents can say you are this denomination, but they can't make you a Christian. They can't birth you into God's family. Not by blood. Nor by the will of the flesh. That means no matter how good I try to be, I can't be good enough. But nor by the will of man. Boy, I want everyone that I meet and know to have eternal life. I want them to be born again, but they can't do it because I want them to happen. It has to be because they come face to face with the understanding they're a sinner. They can't save themselves. They're on their way to hell. Only Jesus could save them. And then they ask the Lord Jesus to come into their heart and forgive their sin. I'll never forget the night someone asked me, John, do you know for sure if you died, you go to heaven? I didn't know. They shared with me what I just shared with you. That I was a sinner. I knew me. I knew that I was a sinner. Number two, they told me that I deserved hell. And I didn't like that, but I saw it in black and white. And even though I didn't like it, I believed it in my heart. Number three, they told me that Jesus died so I could live. He purchased the gift of eternal life, and I had to believe it and receive it for myself. I remember pondering all that I had heard because it wasn't what I understood before. I thought, going to heaven, you had to earn it. You be good, then you get to go. You do good and you obtain God's favor and He lets you go to heaven. I didn't realize it was a gift for the guilty, not a reward for the righteous. But I humbled myself and beside my bed, I got on my knees and I said, Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell. I believe that only Jesus and His righteousness could save me. Lord, please save me. And that night was the best day of my life. On that moment, I was born into God's family. I exchanged my sin for God's Son. Now, according to the Bible, I have everlasting life. Not because I saved myself, I couldn't do it. I put my faith in the only one who could, and that was Jesus. And that was the best day of my life. Have you had a day like that? Have you had a day when you believed and received Jesus as your Savior? I want to thank you for listening this morning. And we're going to, in just a few moments, I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And I want you to think about a couple questions. And I don't know everyone here. I don't know where you came from and what your paradigm of life is. But today, I've tried to tell you what the Bible says. We've read scores of verses from the Bible. This is not something I thought up. This is something that the Bible says, and God tells us that we can have eternal life. And I want to make sure you have it. I want to make sure there's a moment of time when you put your faith in Christ, and you're born into God's family. Before we pray, can I just say this? The importance of being born again is Bible math. If you're only born once, you'll have to die twice. Physically separated from your body and your loved ones and eternally separated from God in the lake of fire. That's what the Bible teaches. But if you're born twice, you only die once. You're separated from your body for a short time and forever and never separated from God. Because you've exchanged your sin for God's Son. You've accepted the gift of eternal life. Would you mind thinking with me, but let's bow our head and close our eyes for a moment.